It's Beamaz and Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Beamaz and Beamer, welcome in on WBEN. Nice. You know what? Underrated part. Here's everyone focuses, Joe, on the three-day weekend.
Yes.
Right? That right. gets all the love.
Right.
Underrated, the four-day week.
The four-day week, yeah. And it's for some people, three-day work week as well.
It's already Wednesday.
Yeah.
I mean, there you go.
I mean, because you know how sometimes some weeks it's Wednesday and you think it's Friday and that sucks? But today a lot of people think it's Tuesday. And you're like, it's already Wednesday.
It's already Wednesday. It's already hump day. Thursday, yeah. Which is basically the end. And then, you know, once you get past Memorial Day, Fridays.
Oh, my gosh.
Who's over under on how many people we have around here?
I'll tell you this. Fridays, after Memorial Day, people treat Fridays how you and I treat every day. They just mail it in.
Yeah. Just you get one of those. But yeah, B-Maz and Beamer here with you for the next hour or so, 803-0930. Yeah, that's definitely an underrated aspect of this.
Yeah.
It's the constant feeling like, oh, Wednesday already. You know, tomorrow, Thursday. And then it's like, hey, the weekend.
It's what makes you feel not so down at the end of Memorial Day. If you actually think about it, you're like, wait a minute. I didn't go to work today. I'm going in tomorrow. It's already Tuesday. For me, Tuesday's the worst day of the week.
The three-day weekend gets so much love. I feel like the four-day week should get... We talked about it a lot of times before, right? You
exactly.
know, 4 day, how would you divvy it up? You know, maybe the Monday off.
Yeah.
So it's going pretty smooth right now.
For me, it'd be Wednesday. I still stand by splitting the week up.
Right in the middle there?
Yeah.
Underrated, Joe, I thought of this yesterday. You know, I usually have like some sort of protein, but that's my breakfast. That's my brunch every day. I don't really eat anything most of the day until, you know, close to 7.
Right.
I have like a protein bar or something like that. And I had the one, and you could it tries to taste like a Snickers.
Oh.
That's the idea behind it. It doesn't. But but the one thing, it's very good, but the one thing it's missing from a Snickers, underrated, on a Snickers, the texture on the underside of a Snickers.
Yeah.
It's like a little like sneaker pattern that a Snickers bar has. I think that's what puts the Snickers over the top.
I have not had a regular Snickers in forever. If I go for Snickers, if I'm like, ooh, you know, I'm going to add on to this gut I've already put on, I go with the peanut butter Snickers, which I'm a huge fan of.
Does that have the same texture on the outside, same little ridges on the bottom?
Well, this peanut butter Snickers aren't a bar. It's two little squares.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's that's why I'm saying I
not for me.
Yeah.
I need a bar.
But do you like peanut butter on a candy bar? Would that work?
Like a Butterfinger? Or just like dipping a candy bar in a jar of peanut butter?
Like a Reese's stick.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
It's whatever. Not my favorite, but, you know, I go for it.
Is Snickers your favorite candy bar?
No, but I'm big on texture.
Okay, I get that.
I really like the texture there, and I was thinking that. I was eating this bar the other day. It's just flat on the bottom. It's like it could really use just a little bit of texture. To spice it up.
Do all the other flavors work together well?
Yeah, it tastes fine.
So for you, it's just texture.
Flavor-wise, it's fine. The texture could use a little bit of spicing up.
I understand that.
Bring it over the top a little bit. And, you know, how much can a sneaker tread texture at the candy bar factory cost?
Maybe it's more about how much it's adding to that bar that they don't want in that bar.
What could it be adding? You're just like imprinting a little bit of
that's true
tread on the bottom.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I might be the only weird one like that who's into. It matters a lot to me, the texture.
They lost you on the texture. I get
that. Yeah, of the food. But that's, you know, underrated. The four-day week. The tread on the bottom of a Snickers.
Yeah.
And having a car that runs all the time.
That's not underrated.
I think it is, though. You know, it's, you know, a lot of people don't think about it. If you are not having car troubles. And it's not until you run into car troubles that you're just like, you know what would make me happy? Just having a normal running car.
Yeah, putting the keys in the car and starting.
Yeah. The thing that you took for granted that was underrated until you ran into a problem.
And now it is like, Brian, when you have that problem, when you first get the car back, especially if they didn't really fix it, every morning... you now are going to the car with that stress, like, is this going to start? Am I going to have to wake my wife up to get to work this morning? Especially at 4 in the morning, not a great issue to have. But the last 3 weeks has made me appreciate one thing, and that is having a good mechanic. And I, instead of waiting for my good mechanic, who is obviously overbooked because they do good work, I took it to someone who could see me the day of. And as we illustrated, Brian, taking it to someone that could see me on the day of turned into having my car for 9 days, turned into, well, we replaced the fuel pump, still has problems starting. It does eventually start. I will say that to give this place credit, which I'm not going to name on the air, to give this place credit, the car does start. But I have to crank it about 3 times before the engine finally takes. Rev. However, it still starts. But then yesterday, get a call at 1 o'clock, right? This is on the 10th day they've had my car, mind you, the 10th day. Your overheating problem, that's something we can't fix. It's electrical. the problem is the fan won't kick on unless you have the air conditioning on. So it's the opposite of what we've been told our entire life, that if your car's overheating, turn off the air conditioning. In my case, you have to turn on the air conditioning because that's the only way the fan will turn on. So I drove right to my mechanic. I said, I'm sorry. I went to someone else. Huge mistake. Cost me a lot of money. Can you please look over this? And of course, they're good, so they're booked. So the earliest they could see me, I said, put me down. My car will be here.
That is the worst feeling in the world. And everybody can have their guy, which not everybody does, but everybody can have their place where you know you can go and they'll take care of you. Yep. And all you ask for is that, you know, it's an honest place.
Yep. I took that for granted.
But you can't always go there. You know, sometimes it's like an emergency fix. You need your car. It needs to be done right away. There's no opening. Nothing can be done. So you have to go somewhere else. And then you're left with that feeling of helplessness.
That is the perfect way to put how I feel right now.
So I guess the two questions out there today are, one, in this current climate, this car market that we're in, how do you deal with car trouble? I mean, do you look at things differently? If you're, you know, running at the end of your car's lifespan, do you just keep it? Do you try your best to fix it instead of, you know, maybe looking to see what else you can make because you know you're going to be paying a ton of money for anything new or used over the next several weeks, months, who knows how long it's going to last?
I will say this. Now, you know me, Brian. I know nothing about cars. Nothing. Like, I wish I could go under my hood and go, oh, it's a fuse. But last Friday, filling in for Bella Villa, talked with Lauren Fix, as she's on Bella Villa's show every Friday. And she said, with this market, it is worth putting $1,000-$2,000 into your car now instead of paying 38% over price, which cars are going for.
Yeah. I mean, it would seem that way, right?
But when it goes over $2,000, when is it no longer worth it? You know what I mean? Because right now, over the last 3 weeks, I've put $1,200 into my car, and I still have issues.
That was me like a year ago, where I was like, there's nothing, I'm not putting any money into this car anymore. It's not worth it to me, I'm going up. But that it's only gotten crazier in the year since. So I don't know if I would find myself in the same position.
But can I ask you this? Because I also asked my mechanic, when you do have it, can you make sure that, you know, what it was? Because obviously, maybe the fuel pump was still an issue, but obviously, whatever, I'm still having problems cranking my car, and I just can't live with that. I cannot live with the stress, is my car going to start? If my mechanic goes, well, that was never the issue to begin with, it was this wiring issue, can you go back to the other guy and say, hey, you gave me a fuel pump I didn't need. Can I get half that labor cost back, or is that money that's lost?
I guess it depends on how forceful you are.
If it were you.
If it were, it depends on...
And someone that knows cars told you, that was never necessary.
Depends on how much money it is. Depends on how good are you at Microsoft Word to craft a nice letter from a lawyer. Beamer and Beamer Esquire.
I mean, I do play softball for a law firm. I might be able to get an actual attorney letter.
Hey, if you can get on base this week, we can get you a letter.
I'm not getting that letter.
Say that. But no, something like that might go a long way. I would definitely try to. I mean, if you're spending a significant amount of money and it was all done, I mean, let's go. What, you did something totally unnecessary to the car? I mean, let's run it all back. What are you doing here?
Right.
I thought you were taking it to a professional. Which brings up the second part of the question, Joe.
Yes.
Which is, I'm lucky now to be driving in a newer car.
A very nice car.
Deal with this yet. You know, I mean, that's in the future. It is for every car, right? But yet, right now, I used to hate going to the mechanic because for a lot of issues, you know, there's some issues, you know what's going on. I've even made some, you know, you can do some repairs on your own car. But the mechanic is always, and a lot of people fall into this same situation. You almost feel a sense of helplessness. You're going in there. You don't know exactly what the problem is. You don't know how to fix it. It's out of your hands entirely. All you do know is that you need the vehicle.
Yes.
So it's one of the hopefully rare situations in your life where you're just kind of left like, yeah, I mean, they have my car and they got me and they're going to give me a price and I don't know what that price is going to be. It could be $100 to $5,000 and I'm going to have to pay it because what other option do I have? To me, that is now the vet.
Oh,
that, because that's, there you go. You're walking into a situation. I don't, you know, I'm not a vet myself. I don't know exactly what's going on. They're going to tell me this, that, and the other. You need this. You need that. I don't really know any better. It's an area that I'm not totally up on. And I'm going to walk out of here. I know it now. Every time I go in there, spending more money than what I think I should. And it's, to me, it's like I walk out of there and I'm like, I feel like a lot of people feel just walking out of the mechanics.
Oh, yeah.
But for me, it's the vet.
It's the vet.
And what else is like that that's out there? I mean, what, there are, those are my two examples of things that I think a lot of people can kind of go with. But there has to be more, right? Where you go into a certain business, you might have a certain problem. Maybe it's something around the house you're unsure of, but it's something you know you need fixed. You know you need a type of service. You don't know what you're doing or what the cost is. You're in a position where, you know, somebody could make something up.
Yeah.
And the flux capacitor is broken and you're, you know, whatever. And you wouldn't really know. And you're kind of left very vulnerable. And you hate that feeling. I feel like there's a lot of different examples out there. 803-0930, text or call. With whatever yours is, because mine is the vet. You're having the experience right now with the car.
Anything related with cars, that goes outside the mechanic. If you go to a dealership and buy a car, is that really the lowest I could go? You know what I mean? Negotiation process. I think you walk out going, "Well, I needed a car. I needed to pay what they were going to." Yeah,
buying a car?
Yes, because that whole negotiation now of talking to the person, that's gone. You pay what you pay.
Yeah, well, right now, there's not really negotiating. It's, yeah. I mean, you can negotiate to the sticker
price.
This
is the one car we have on the lot.
But I know, I still don't think that people are really in that position. There's low inventory, but there's not no inventory.
That's true.
I mean, there are cars around, and you can go. I mean, look, and I'll go to, if I find a good deal on a car that's going to save me money, or if I find exactly what I want, and it's a car, you know, that I know I'm going to be using every single day for the next, what, at least 5 years?
Yeah.
I mean, I'll drive to Rochester, Pittsburgh. So, I mean, you know, you go around anywhere to find that deal.
Yeah.
So I feel like buying a car doesn't really fit, at least for me. I can't see, I would never walk into a place and be like pressured into buying a car or feel like I need to walk out of there with something right there.
Yeah, I'm just assuming with the climate, you know, the way it is right now. I mean, the last time I bought a car, and I got a good deal, but last time when I bought the car I have now in 2015, I was without a car. My car
had stopped working. So I was in the position where I did need to walk out of there with a car. You know, that's before my father was retired. I needed a car. I couldn't just go to my parents and borrow one. You know, now I got a little more wiggle room because I can have a car in the morning.
Yeah, but still.
Which, at 33, I know how pathetic that sounds.
You have the internet, right?
I do have the internet,
so,
yes.
I mean, you got it all at your fingertips. You can compare. Even if you do need a car, it's not like, you know what's out there. You know what the prices are of everything. It's
right.
It's kind of right there in front of you. To me, like you right now, taking the car in, it's like taking the dog. It's a mystery.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the buying a car scenario, you need a car.
That's true.
You don't know. Apparently, the people who worked on your car didn't know.
No.
What's wrong with it and what needed to be done?
They have no idea. And I guarantee, I'll take it to my guy next Wednesday. It's the earliest he could see me. And within an hour, I'll get a call about what it is. I mean, that's just how they work.
I love the text and all the areas where this applies that you're rolling in here. 803-0930. One of the first ones, and we've gotten it a couple times, is the dentist. I don't understand that.
No.
Do you? The dentist? It's never
happened. We have dental insurance, so.
I don't even know what it covers. The cleanings. You go in there for a cleaning.
You get a bit off on fillings.
They ask you, do you want an x-ray? And I'm always like, no. Like, you looked at it. It looks pretty good, right? Like, nothing hurts. So I think I'm good here. Like, when something is bothering me, I'll let you know.
Right.
I'll tell you. You weren't sticking the, rod in there and, like, here's a big hole or anything, so.
Is that what they're testing for?
I feel like I'm pretty good.
When they get that big hook and.
I would imagine. I don't know.
I always wondered what they were. Is it a soft spot where the cavity is?
To me, like dentist, doctor, for the most part, you should kind of know yourself what's going on.
Well, yeah, a doctor's not going to tell you need something you don't.
You hope. Well, I mean, that happens all the time. You ever hear people who get pressured into a surgery?
True.
I was pressured into, or, the attempt was made for me to get a cornea transplant surgery, Joe. I don't even wear glasses. Like, yeah, we'll get this. There's a 20% rejection rate. You're not really going to contact sports. You'd have to wear, some definite eye protection because that might, do this or that. But, really would recommend you look into this and get this. I'm sitting there like, I'm looking you right in the face. You're handing me the pamphlet. I'm reading it with no glasses. You're telling me to replace the front of my eye. No, I don't think so. But that happened. A lot of the housework, plumbing is the one that gets in. Plumbing always ends up worse than it seems. Heating, cooling, I could see that, right? The pipes, they're looking into the pipes. Not everyone has the camera at the end of the snake where you can look yourself and figure out what's going on. You kind of have a general idea. Like, I think it's blocked here.
Oof.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't,
The clock's ticking.
you have that. You have that in there. But the car stories.
The car, I'm telling you. I realize this is on me because, my family's been going to the same mechanic and then I've been going and they've been great. They've never steered me in the wrong direction. They've probably gotten this car to stay on the road longer than it should have. And, the one time I'll be honest, I got upset. I was a millennial, Brian. I got upset and I was like, well, you can't see me till Thursday. I'm going somewhere else. And now I think that's really, really taken some money out of the bank account that I could definitely use. So someone's also saying that it could be the AC unit. But I don't know. I don't know cars. All I'm saying is the AC does turn the fan on. So when the AC is working, it is cooling down the engine. It's when the AC is off that I'm having the overheating problem.
Maybe that's the AC is supposed to be blowing on you. It's blowing on the engine. Is that?
No, I'm still getting the AC. But it's the only thing that will turn the fan on. There's something that won't, when the engine's overheating without the AC, the fan won't click on. And that's why my car is overheating when I don't have the air conditioning on. Again, different than what we've been told prior. About the AC always overheating the engine.
Someone agreed with me with the, and this is almost what happened to me, at the vet.
Uh-oh.
You walk in for a checkup and a rabies. Me, I just walked in for the rabies, and they gave you the checkup. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know we agreed to this. Just looking for the shot. One of the checkups was literally, it was like me, how my wife says I look for things. Look with your eyes. Looks good. There's your checkup. I'm like, well, I could have done that. But he said, next thing I'm walking out almost $400 saying, what the heck did I just pay for? Like, yeah, that's what it is. And, you know, they hit you over the head with all these things you've never heard of before. And, yeah, boom, boom, boom. The other person saying, a bar, the drinks start flowing. You're not asking prices. The end of the night, you get a bill. And, yeah.
Yeah.
that's happened before. But what is it for you? 803-0930. If you're on hold, stay there. You can give us a call. Send us a text. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.
It's B-Maz and Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Hey, hey, welcome back. B-Maz and Beamer here on News Radio 930 WBEN. Brian, you talked, before we get back to the topic, you talked about the supply chain shortage and all of that. Did you see the next shoe to fall when it comes to supply chain?
What's that?
Movie theater popcorn. Going to start seeing less movie theater popcorn, according to PIX 11 in New York.
Why do I doubt that? Somehow,
popcorn supply will be tight, according to AMC concession
kernels. You can't get kernels.
According to PIX 11 and AMC theaters,
you can't pop smarter. You know, much popcorn sitting in there that they probably throw out at the end of the day.
Do you think this might just be an excuse to raise popcorn prices?
How much more can you go for popcorn? I mean, really, it's what is it, like $20 for popcorn?
Yeah, and that's not even the refillable one.
I don't think you can go much higher. I don't know. I have a hard time believing. Although, you know, you told me some of the things a couple years ago, I would have had a hard time believing that too. A lot of good comments flowing in on what you kind of feel helpless about. It's a lot of services. Joe's having his car issues. I said that, you know, it's a rough thing, and that's something a lot of people connect with and have that similar experience where if you don't know anything about cars and you take it in, and I mean,
you take it to the wrong person.
You take it to the wrong person, even if you take it to the right person. I mean, you could just be surprised at the bill of the car. I mean, you have no idea what's, you know, you think it's, I don't know. You think there could be something completely wrong with your car and maybe you just need air in your tires.
Yeah.
Or you...
You think you just need air in your tires.
Yeah. I mean, it could go the other way around. That's for live. I said, for me, it's the vet. You take your dogs to the vet, and I don't know what they're talking about. They're talking about all these dog diseases and things that they... You know, what? They seem healthy and happy to me, but what do I know?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you think a simple trip is in the works, and you're walking out $100 or more, a little less in the pocket. On your way out of there, it's no fun.
That's why you try to find those free shot clinics they do outside Petco's.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm going next. What is that thing for you? A lot of people have been chiming in your different things of what it is. Plumbing was a popular one that you don't know what's going on. You don't know what the problem could be. Here it goes. Musical instrument repair, somebody chimed in. That's an interesting one that I never would have really thought of.
No.
I mean, I guess it depends on the instrument. Some of the things are probably pretty self-explanatory. You're talking about more intricate pianos, and I don't know. It's probably very hard to tell what's going on. You know, hey, I just play it. I don't know how to fix it.
Especially like a piano tune-up, because you have to get one of those like every year.
You do?
If you play regularly, yeah.
See, I would have no idea. Does every piano need to tune up every year? Or just certain types? I would fall right in line with this person who chimed in.
That's a great question.
I would have no idea.
How about an attorney? Especially if like you're doing, you know, maybe not even trial work, but an attorney that needs to do this and you don't know, but they keep you on the phone for 3 hours so they can charge you every 15 minutes.
Yeah, maybe that could be. Or I was thinking of this in a different way, Joe. How, like, would you know the difference between a good and a bad attorney?
No.
I mean, right? Yeah. You say you have, and I think this is probably true of a lot of people, you have like some sort of family friend or somebody you know who's an attorney, and it's someone you know, so you're thinking, well, they'll be honest with me. And that could be completely the case, but they could be honest with you and they could be bad. And would you know the difference?
No.
I mean, they're all talking about things that are over your head. Yeah, I think an attorney probably falls into that.
Yeah.
Jack, you're on WBEN. Jack, is the car where that is for you, that thing? You feel a little helpless?
Oh, no, it's just a funny situation. My son was living with us, early 20s, so he buys a car from Carvana. Didn't ask my help in looking for a vehicle. Just bought it out of the blue. So the Carvana van shows up, drops the car off, and the guy says, well, take it for a little test ride, see if you like it. So he gets in the car, and he rolls down the window. He goes, Dad. I go, what? He goes, it's a 5-speed. I laugh. He goes, I thought everything was automatic transmission.
He thought he was getting a deal.
Well, the guy was great. He says, hey, you got 7 days. He says, I'll take it back, order a new one, whatever. So, which he did. So it all worked out okay, but it was just so funny seeing the look in his eyes like a deer in headlights, like, I don't know how to drive a 5-speed.
He didn't want to try to learn?
I asked him if he wanted to, because I could have taught him.
Oh, yeah.
I drove a lot of vehicles with 4 or 5 speeds, but it was just kind of funny.
Yeah.
Comical.
You got to be careful.
But it worked out all right.
Jack, you bring up a good question. Thank you. Joe, is your car manual? Is that the problem?
No. No. My are you kidding me? I tried to learn manual. It did not work. I am not good with that. Back to the attorney thing real quick, Brian. Here's how I would guess if it was a good or bad attorney. If I needed the attorney to, like a lawsuit, and I lost, that's a bad attorney. Which I know is not true, but that's how I would think it.
Yeah, I guess so, maybe.
Because I don't know anything.
But it is one of those things where you are kind of like, okay, here's a realm of expertise that I just don't know anything about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the same thing. So it's the car dealership or the mechanic. It's the vet. I like an attorney aspect of this where you're just kind of totally in somebody's hands. You know, maybe for some people it's a realtor.
Ooh.
And looking for a house. You don't necessarily know. Now, that's one that maybe less, I said buying a car, maybe buying a house is a little less so, because there's so many different tools where you can kind of look at and see what different houses have sold for in different neighborhoods, and you kind of know a decent value and whether or not you have to rush to something. But, that is something where you're kind of putting your trust in somebody to walk you around, point out any problems they see. Hey, what might be an issue in this neighborhood that, if you've been around here before? Anything where you have to trust people kind of blindly and it's not somebody in your own family. I mean, that's a tough situation. I hate being in those situations, and there's a lot of them, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you're seeing that now, with people being told, hey, just waive your inspection so you get this house. And I think that's going to come back to haunt a few people.
I always wondered about that because I guess it depends on who's doing the inspection. There are some good things you can catch with a home inspection. But there's also only so much a home inspection can do.
Right.
I mean, you're really kind of looking with your eyes. You're not really digging into a whole lot. I have wondered that a lot. You hear more and more people doing that. So, oh, well, I would never, go without a home inspection or something.
You get a home inspection?
Yeah.
Would you have bought your house without one?
No, not at the time.
But now?
But now, if that was what it took, and that's what a lot of people are doing, and you had to get into it, I would prefer to just not buy a house now, period.
Yeah.
But if you were in that position, you had to get a house, I don't know if that would be the deal breaker for me, necessarily. Even though, I think conventional wisdom would say you'd be crazy to go without it.
Right.
You're making this huge investment without a home inspection. But then I think if you walk through, what, like 7 out of 10 home inspections, you'd be like, oh, that's the thing I needed?
Yeah, I mean,
you just walked around and showed me what, you know, the big crack in the wall.
I mean, again, this is something I have literally no expertise in. But all this talk of houses going for over 100,000 and home inspections, I am very happy to be renting at this current moment.
But a lot of the house stuff, I think, falls into this, right? The plumbing gets mentioned, HVAC for a lot of people. I don't know if any of it is like self-explanatory. All of it's like self-taught.
Yeah.
You can figure out how to do anything with a YouTube video. But the second you bring in someone, or the second you can't quite figure it out, you're kind of left in somebody else's hands.
Yeah.
You know, what do you do? I hate being in that situation and that feeling. Do you think you're going to get your car problem resolved this week?
Well, my appointment's next week.
So no.
But at least I will say this, at least I have my car. Now, you might be getting a call one morning, hey, I can't get to work. As I said, it's starting now. I still don't think the fuel pump was the issue, because we are still having the crank issues. And I don't know much about cars, but a few people have said the cooling temp sensor, which is something else I had heard. And if that's the case, that means it was also the problem with the cranking the engine. So I don't know. I would, as much as I like my mechanic, if there's someone out there that people trust that could look at my car, I would like to get the problem resolved, because you know me, Brian, I don't stress out really easily. But when you walk to your car at 4 in the morning and you turn the key and it's a 50-50 if the thing's going to start, that's just unneeded stress I don't need in my life right now. You know, like, I just want to have a car, and I mean, this car, everything else is still, I mean, everything now is new in the car, water pump, fuel pump. But
have you tried to figure it out yourself? You watch any videos?
Once they open the hood, Brian, I mean, it's,
but you,
I'm lost.
You definitely have a very defeatist attitude toward doing a lot of things.
With the car?
Yeah, or with, you know, if your fridge were to break or something like that.
Well, that's why
your initial reaction would be, I can't do it.
Well, I'm not a handyman. Like, I know.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, like, literally anybody could be. I'm not a handyman, but you watch a video on YouTube for 2 minutes.
You're good at following instructions, though. That was always on my report card. Fails to follow instructions.
Yeah, it's been a while since you got a report card, though. I mean, you know, people change over 20 years.
I know. I guess it's just very intimidating to me. Like, watch one of those videos, and it says you have to lift this up. Because, Brian, especially with the car, the other stuff, you're right, I probably should. And I did repair a sink once from a YouTube video. That's a different story.
But I guess you're looking at it the wrong way, because I know where you're going with this, especially with the car. You're afraid to mess anything up. What could be more messed up than what it is right now?
Well, how about if as this person says,
could it cost you any more?
Well, now, no. But if this person's correct and it's just a sensor. Now, if I go in there and start playing with stuff, maybe I break something else. You know what I mean?
Probably won't.
Yeah, probably not. You're right. When it comes to this, I do have a very defeatist attitude. However, I think I'm just very cautious, because I do think we are one thing away from the car running again, and I don't want to ruin something else. Like, hey, it's just a sensor, but you went in there and you broke the radiator. Oh, great. That's how I view it, you know?
I just feel like that's not going to happen. Like, it would be very hard for that to happen. I feel like you could figure it out. Or you should at least try. You're in a position where I think you can try. Like, there's a video here. Let's see. How long is this video? This is like 4 minutes long.
Oh, no.
Not even. 3 1/4 and 30 seconds is an intro. Honda Civic radiator fan not working.
Oh. But that's not completely true, because it is working when the air conditioning's on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, watch a couple videos, figure it out. You got a whole week before you take it in again. Maybe you can figure it out. I say go for it.
Okay.
Somebody else is trying, you know, along this same route, someone said, you know, washers or dryers or any appliances. I think generally those are, you know, in 2022, those are do-it-yourselfers. You know, like, my oven was broken not that long ago. You figure it out. Like, oh, it's not this. So it must be this like ignition switch or whatever. All right, you figure out how to buy a replacement and shove it in there. You know, most appliances, I don't know. You figure. My wife was one of the people who you saw this recall not that long ago of all the freezer door handles with the freezer on the bottom of the fridge. They were all coming loose. People were like getting flung back. She didn't get flung back, but she ripped the handle out. I was like, what are you, the Hulk? I was like, no, it was loose. I don't know what happened. And that's, you know, oh, watch a YouTube video. You figure it out. You know, you can generally kind of see what's going on.
But it was a recall. So it was an issue with the freezer.
No, it wasn't on mine.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, it had been happening to some other people. But it was an issue, but it was one that was easily figured out.
You are good at that stuff. I mean, you did your entire attic. I could never have done that. You know what I mean? I don't care how many YouTube videos there are out there.
I'm not good at it. You know how you get to do something? You just figure it out. You go do it.
Yeah.
Be Rembrandt.
I have done.
But you've never taken the brush and put it to a paper.
That's not. I have failed a lot when just trying to do it or just learning on the job. I've done a lot of failing at that. And it is a defeatist attitude, but I would call it more cautious because I think there are some things I address in a non-defeatist way. But I think this is a cautious way of something I admittedly do not know much about.
I have faith in you, Joe.
I appreciate that.
We'll go to Tim. Tim, you're on WBEN. Tim, before we get into what you were calling for, Tim, do you think Joe can do it? He's got a week here to figure out what's wrong with this car.
Joe, I believe you can do it.
Oh, thank you, Tim. I appreciate that.
I like just the positive vibe here. We're going to send Joe's way, and we're going to make a video. Joe Beamer does repairs. He's going to become a social media sensation.
I was going to say, are we taking the phone outside after this and opening the hood?
I think so. Tim, what's on your mind?
Start. Hey, I just have a quick comment about the home inspection. We purchased a brand new home. It was a model for about a year. And, you know, I figured, you know, why get an inspection, blah, blah, blah. Well, my realtor said, get an inspection. And we got an inspection. You wouldn't believe the things that the inspector looked at and found. He went as far as to opening and closing every drawer in the kitchen. And, I mean, it was just a complete report. And the builder was actually a little ticked off that he found some of this stuff. You know, I don't remember a lot of the specifics, but it was all little stuff that I would have never thought to think about.
I appreciate the call, Tim, and your point. I would say for me, the home inspection, it's almost kind of like the lawyer conversation we were having earlier, where you have to get somebody who's good at it. Do you kind of understand what I'm saying?
Oh, my realtor, who had been a realtor for many years, was so impressed by this home inspection that he used this guy numerous times after that. You know, I had worked with both of them, so I knew both of them personally. But, you know, you're right. You have to get the right guy and not just some guy that's rubber stamping it and grabbing the check.
That's the tough part, Joe, is kind of knowing who's good and who's bad. And I think especially if you are buying, and thanks, Tim, for the call, if you're buying a home for the first time and, you know, you've never kind of gone through a home inspection process and you're just walking through, I mean, the home inspector is only allowed to do so much. You can only kind of look at really the surface. You can't dig deep or bust holes in walls. You know, you can look at some things, but you can't look at everything.
It's like the dentist. The home inspector just, okay, this is good. This is in place.
The dentist can take an x-ray if you want.
Can, but usually doesn't. Usually just inspects the outside of your teeth.
Always offers me an x-ray.
Yeah, maybe they do. I don't know where. It's been a while since I've been to the dentist.
But if you've never been through the home inspection process, and you could be with the best home inspector or the worst home inspector, I don't know if you'd notice the difference. If you're someone young walking through a home, they're, you know, checking the boxes, they write up a nice report for you, they send it your way, and you can go, hey, and, you know, he could have missed 20,000 things you might not have noticed. Or he could have gotten every little thing, yep. Including things that you might not need to touch for 10 years.
It did amaze me because a few weeks ago I did talk about people passing their inspections, and the number of people who called in, thankfully with no names, who said that people had they had their house inspected, and like you said, Brian, a lot of things had been missed on that inspection. I was kind of surprised how many people had that happen to them here in Western New York.
Yeah, and, you know, I wouldn't even blame a home inspector necessarily.
Right.
Right? It's just you can only do so much. I mean, what can you do? Someone chimed in. I hope somebody doesn't need surgery. You think you can just watch a YouTube video. Look, there's a big difference. If you don't understand the difference between simple appliance or car repairs and surgery on somebody else's body, I can't help you there. But there's a lot of things that you can nowadays. This is how you take advantage of the technology. For the most part, I think technology everywhere, you know, I could do without it. But in this case,
YouTube videos.
It is the greatest thing ever because if you have a problem with anything in your home, in your car, generally speaking, there's like 20 people lined up on YouTube ready to tell you exactly how to fix it.
But,
and they have the exact same product that you do.
I'll tell you, you know, I clogged the disposal once, and it was like a week.
a little pause there between clog and what you did. So I was wondering where this was going.
And it was a week after I had already done it once and needed the maintenance people to come in and fix it. And I didn't want when my wife came home to say, hey, I did it again. I put something in the disposal that's not supposed to be there. So I watched the YouTube video and I had it all cleaned out before she got home. I did eventually tell her, but I was able just by a simple YouTube video. So yes, Brian, I know it can be done, but a sink is a little different than a car.
I'd feel more nervous sticking my hand down somewhere with a garbage disposal than I would under the hood of the car.
I turned the electricity off.
Still.
Yeah.
You got some dangerous moving parts right there. I can't believe you'd do that. You don't want to go under the hood.
Well, I mean, after this talk, I'm at 10 o'clock, I'm going to be outside at the car looking for apparently a faulty sensor or corroded wire. Thanks for the text, by the way.
I like it. Watch some video. We got to put this on YouTube ourselves. Joe does repairs.
Yeah.
And then everyone can watch you do it and figure out how to do it themselves.
No, everyone can watch it and go, well, now that thousand's turned into five.
We'll be back here tomorrow. B-Maz and Beamer on WBEN.